Hi, I'm Jackie Roble with the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. During the next 30 minutes, I will be sharing nutrition information from the Nutrition Action Health Letter. Nutrition Action Health Letter is the flagship publication of the Center for Science and the Public Interest. Published 10 times a year, Nutrition Action provides honest, unbiased science-based advice on nutrition and health. It's the world's largest circulation nutrition newsletter, bringing the latest nutrition news and advice to more than 500,000 readers. Nutrition Action is totally free of advertising, so they're free to blow the whistle on products that aren't what they pretend to be and to applaud the good ones. Please use the information presented in this broadcast in conjunction with your personal physician. The following articles are from the June edition of the Nutrition Action Health Letter, plus some located online. Standing Up for Healthy Kids, a memo from Peter G. Lurie, MD, MHP, President, Center for Science and the Public Interest. It's a little passé to quote Yogi Berra these days, but his wise words continue to ring true. The Trump administration's efforts to roll back seemingly final nutritional standards for school meals ain't over till it's over. In 2010, years of advocacy and organizing by activists led by Margot Wooten of the Center for Science in the Public Interest, Nutrition Action's publisher, led to passage of the landmark Healthy, Hunger-Free Kids Act. The law and regulations later set by the U.S. Department of Agriculture ushered in a new era for school meals: more fruits and vegetables, less salt, more whole grains, less saturated fat. Not so fast. In May 2017, in his first week in office, Agricultural Secretary Sonny Perdue signed a proclamation that promised to weaken those standards. This past December, the USDA delivered on its pledge. Its final rule eliminated the long-term target for cutting sodium and weakened the goal requiring all breads and other grain foods to be at least 50% whole grain. Clearly, the USDA didn't take CSPI and the lawyers at Democracy Forward into account. On April 3rd, We and Healthy School Fund Maryland filed suit charging the USDA with violating the law when it failed to adequately respond to the 99% of public comments that opposed the rollbacks. The agency also violated the law by not requiring that school meals follow the USDA's own dietary guidelines for Americans. If it weren't so depressing, we could follow Yogi's admonition to take it with a grain of salt. But grains of salt are nothing to grin about. On March 5th, an expert panel convened by the prestigious National Academy of Medicine reaffirmed the scientific evidence that high sodium intakes raise blood pressure and the risk of stroke and heart disease. The panel advised adults to consume no more than 2,300 milligrams of sodium a day, the same level set by a 2005 panel, while lowering limits for most children. The panel called those levels chronic disease risk reduction intakes because it said reducing sodium intake lowers not only blood pressure, but also the risk of cardiovascular disease. So just when the USDA should be protecting children by strengthening limits on excess sodium in school meals, the agency is weakening them. On the upside, soon after the Academy issued its sodium report, came news that the Salt Institute, for over a century a promoter of the salt industry and a vehement denier of the risks of salt, would dissolve at the end of March. As Yogi himself might have said, the future ain't what it used to be. Buzzwords: Real Remedies or Really Good Marketing, by Caitlin Dow. Tired, overweight, anxious, depressed? Health gurus and celebrity doctors are eager to diagnose and cure whatever ails you. Here's what the science says about the latest ideas buzzing around the world of wellness. Adrenal fatigue. Claim: when your adrenal glands are overtaxed, a condition known as adrenal fatigue or adrenal exhaustion sets in, which in turn can set a cascade of disease processes into motion, claims Joseph Mercola on his website, Mercola.com. Evidence: the theory of adrenal fatigue, which was coined by chiropractor James Wilson in the late 90s, is that overextension of the adrenal glands as they continuously pump out the stress hormone cortisol eventually leads to the adrenals that burn out, resulting in an inability to respond to stress, explains Rashmi Mueller, an endocrinologist and assistant professor of medicine at UCLA. Adrenal fatigue affects up to 80% of American adults at some point during their lifetime, says Wilson's book, Adrenal Fatigue, the 21st Century Stress Syndrome. It's responsible for salty and sweet cravings, being tired for no reason, and more, he claims. Only one problem, notes Mueller. No matter how much stress we're under, our adrenal glands don't burn out. The pituitary, a pea-sized gland in the brain, tells the adrenal glands to produce cortisol. In turn, cortisol acts as a messenger from the adrenals and tells the pituitary, "We're good. We've made enough hormone. You don't need to stimulate us anymore," Mueller explains. It's a self-regulating system. The processes that control cortisol production can break down, for example, in people who have Addison's disease, when the adrenals don't make enough cortisol, or Cushing's disease, when they make too much. But I can test for those diseases, and it's very clear. Yes, you have this, or no, you don't, says Mueller. So why do some people feel so exhausted? Other problems like thyroid disease, depression, sleep apnea, past trauma, anemia, or stress could be the culprit. As for supplements that provide adrenal support, don't bother, says Mueller. When researchers bought a dozen popular ones online, they found thyroid hormone in all 12 and at least one steroid hormone in 7. None of the hormones, it's illegal for them to be in supplements, were listed on the labels. Those ingredients could influence hormonal pathways in unpredictable ways, Mueller points out. What's more, they could interfere with hormone tests, make it harder for your doctor to diagnose problems. Bottom line, the term adrenal fatigue doesn't capture what people are experiencing because it's not an adrenal issue, says Mueller. But the burnout and exhaustion are absolutely real. If we doctors dig a little deeper to get to the root cause of those issues, we're more likely to help patients. Leaky gut syndrome. Claim: leaky gut syndrome is a condition where undigested proteins like gluten, toxins, and microbes can pass into the bloodstream, cautions chiropractor Josh Axe on his website, drax.com. Over time, if leaky gut is not healed, it can lead to food sensitivities, arthritis, inflammatory bowel disease, skin issues like eczema, hypothyroidism, and adrenal fatigue, depression, anxiety, ADHD, nutrient malabsorption, and autoimmune disease. Evidence. Alternative medicine has embraced the concept of leaky gut syndrome, blaming it for nearly everything that can go wrong with a person, says Alessio Fasano, director of the Center for Celiac Research and Treatment at Massachusetts General Hospital for Children. In contrast, modern medicine disregards leaky gut syndrome as voodoo medicine because of claims that it causes so many problems when there is no evidence, he notes. In my opinion, both camps are wrong. The lining of your gut is a single layer of cells that sits between you and the contents of your intestines. Until recently, scientists thought that the cells were so tightly sealed together that nothing passed between them. Then, in the 90s, researchers showed that there are structures, now called tight junctions, between neighboring cells, explains Fasano. They're like doors, and most of the time we want them closed to keep the bad guys out. There are billions of doors in the small intestine, Fasano points out. Depending on the percentage that are open and for how long they're open, you can have an increasing gut permeability. Zonulin, a family of proteins that Fasano discovered in 2000, is the key that unlocks the door, he says. That may explain why researchers report elevated blood levels of zonulin and increased gut permeability in many people with celiac disease, type 1 diabetes, Crohn's disease, and some other autoimmune or inflammatory diseases. Unfortunately, there's no reliable test for gut permeability, says Fasano. Most researchers use several tests to measure it. What's more, some people believe that just because you have an intestine that leaks, that's a problem, says Fasano. But that's not true. It depends on what you find on the other side of the door. If you have a genetic predisposition and a belligerent immune system that doesn't know how to manage invaders, you may develop disease. Fasano's holy grail, figuring out who those people are early in life and preventing gut permeability in an effort to ward off autoimmune disease. But we're nowhere near being able to do that yet. Is there any evidence that supplements, probiotics, or Josh Axe's Eat Dirt diet can heal a leaky gut? Of course not, says Fasano. How can you claim that these remedies can fix a problem if you don't even know if someone has it? Bottom line, don't waste your time on diets or pills that claim to fix leaky gut. Boost metabolism. Claim. The beauty of your metabolism is that it can be manipulated, writes self-proclaimed metabolism whisperer Haley Pomeroy in her book, The Fast Metabolism Diet, which claims to set your metabolism on fire. Evidence. When we talk about metabolism, we're talking about the calories you burn when you're not doing anything or your resting metabolism, says Michael Jensen, director of the Obesity Specialty Council at the Mayo Clinic. Unfortunately, we don't have much control over our resting metabolism. For example, it slows as you age. If you compare a 70-year-old and a 20-year-old with the same amount of fat and lean tissue, the 70-year-old would burn fewer calories at rest than the 20-year-old, says Jensen. Women also have a slower metabolism than men, largely because they typically have less muscle. You have to burn more calories to maintain muscle than fat. Even if men don't have more muscle, says Jensen, for any given amount of fat and lean tissue, women burn slightly fewer calories at rest than men. Can anything boost your resting metabolism? People who gain a lot of extra muscle will burn more calories at rest than before they gained all that muscle, says Jensen, but the effect isn't huge. For the average person, muscle accounts for about 25% of metabolic rate, notes Jensen. So you'd have to gain a lot of muscle before it would have much impact on your resting metabolism. Want a bigger calorie-burning boost? Spend less time at rest. You'll burn more calories from doing that strength training than you'll burn from the increased muscle mass, says Jensen. Or walk, run, bike, or do other aerobic exercise to burn more calories. And if your resting metabolism is slow, don't despair. Jensen's team tracked people with either high or low metabolic rates. Those in the high group burned about 500 calories more per day than those in the low group, despite being roughly the same age and having similar amounts of fat and muscle mass. Yet after roughly 10 years, weight gain was no different. A low metabolic rate doesn't mean you're doomed to gain weight, says Jensen, and a high metabolic rate doesn't protect you from gaining weight. Bottom line, ignore the hype about resetting or revving your resting metabolism. Instead, get moving. Mexican papayas outbreak highlights need for better import monitoring. Today, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention warned consumers in six East Coast states not to eat any whole fresh papayas from Mexico. That was from June 28th. The warning was given after Mexican papayas were linked to an outbreak of Salmonella, Uganda, that has sickened 62 people, 23 of whom were hospitalized. There have been no reported deaths. Approximately 80% of U.S. papayas are imported from Mexico, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. This is not the first time Mexican papayas have been tied to a Salmonella outbreak in the United States. In 2017, another outbreak tied to Meridol papayas from Mexico affected 220 people in 23 states and caused one death. And in 2011, more than 100 people were infected in another Salmonella outbreak tied to Mexican papayas. The FDA, Food and Drug Administration, is currently working to identify the brand names and farms that produce the papayas implicated in the outbreak. The FDA has a standing import alert in place requiring papayas to be tested from Salmonella unless the importer appears on the green list of trusted importers. The import protections FDA has in place are clearly not working. Rather than rely on third-party testing, the FDA should directly inspect the farms these fruits may have come from and ensure they are meeting food safety standards. If the safety of the farms cannot be guaranteed, the FDA should consider whether the papayas should be allowed to be imported at all. Now, The Healthy Cook by Kate Sherwood. Three summary vegetable recipes for your next cookout. If you're going to take advantage of the best that summer offers, don't skimp on the produce. That means springing for the tastiest, ripest tomatoes you can find. Summer succotash. Time, 15 minutes. Serves 4. 1 teaspoon extra virgin olive oil, 2 cups diced zucchini, 2 cups raw corn kernels, 2 tablespoons minced Vidalia onion, 2 tablespoons low-fat sour cream, 1 tablespoon mayonnaise, 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt, 2 large tomatoes sliced. Heat the oil in a large nonstick pan over medium-high heat until simmering hot. Sauté the zucchini and corn until just hot, 1 to 2 minutes. Remove from the pan and toss with the onion. In a small bowl, mix the sour cream, mayonnaise, and salt. On a serving platter, layer the tomatoes and the zucchini corn mixture. Spoon the sour cream sauce on top. Green bean potato salad. Time 20 minutes. Serve 6. 1 pound Yukon Gold fingerling or other waxy potatoes cut into bite-sized chunks. 1 pound green beans trimmed and cut into 1-inch pieces. 2 tablespoons whole grain mustard. 2 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil. 1 tablespoon red wine vinegar. 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt. In a medium pot, cover the potatoes with cold water. Bring to a boil over high heat, then reduce to a gentle boil. Cook until tender but not falling apart, 10 to 12 minutes. Drain and rinse under cold water. Steam the green beans until tender, 3 to 5 minutes. Rinse under cold water. In a large bowl, whisk together the mustard, oil, vinegar, and salt. Gently toss the potatoes and green beans in the dressing. Green gazpacho. Time, 15 minutes. Serve 6. 4 cups chopped ripe yellow tomatoes, 1 green bell pepper seeded and chopped, 3 mini cucumbers chopped, 1 avocado chopped, 1/4 Vidalia onion chopped, 2 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil, 2 tablespoons white wine vinegar, 2 cups ice cubes, 3/4 teaspoon kosher salt. Combine all the ingredients in a large bowl. In 2 batches, process in a blender on high speed until creamy and completely smooth. 6 strategies to help you say no to junk food. Our environment is saturated in calories, cheap, tempting, unnecessary calories. You can't run errands or take a trip to the mall without dealing with a constant barrage of junk foods. Human brains aren't designed to say no to them, though they do our health no favors. Here are 6 strategies you can use to resist the flood of junk food fighting for your attention. 1. Don't let yourself get too hungry. If you're too hungry, your gut signals tell the reward system in your brain you need to really be on the lookout and respond intensely to any food cues you see, says Ashley Gerhart, assistant professor of psychology at the University of Michigan. Her advice, skip the crash diets and focus on the quality of food you eat. 2. Don't drink your calories. Sugary drinks, soda, sports drinks, energy drinks, or sweetened teas lead to weight gain. It's not clear why. One possibility, liquid calories may not register. People eat only slightly less food when they drink a 150-calorie glass of cola with lunch than when they drink a zero-calorie glass of water or diet cola. 3. Foods that don't cause war. Hungry between meals? Try fresh fruit or carrots with hummus. Try to identify foods that you enjoy but that don't cause an intense internal struggle. I'm only going to have one bite of this, but oh God, I want more, suggests Gerhart. That's exhausting. The willpower parts of our brain can only take so much. Address your stress, 4. Stress can be a huge cue, notes Gerhart. Notice the emotional triggers that can set you up to crave palatable, rewarding foods. Go for a walk. Call a friend, try some meditation, or distract yourself. The craving will peak and then go down if you don't give in to it, says Gerhart. Why does stress take a toll? When we're stressed, the executive control system in the brain, the signal to stop eating, is weakened. Stopping ourselves from doing things we want is taxing and energy intense. So when we're stressed, there isn't as much energy for that. 5, get enough sleep. When researchers let people sleep only 4 hours a night for 5 days, they ate more and gained weight. In similar studies, participants reported increased hunger, says Aaron Hanlon, assistant professor in the Department of Medicine at the University of Chicago, and their appetite was greatest for high carbohydrate or high fat foods. 6, give yourself a break. I ask people to have some compassion for themselves because it is really hard, says Gerhart. Our food environment is set up to make it hard for people to eat healthier. What's Your Diet IQ by Bonnie Liebman? What can lower your risk of memory loss or breast cancer? How can you dodge endocrine disruptors or food poisoning? Can some supplements help curb arthritis pain or prevent cataracts? There's no shortage of questions about diet and health, and no shortage of answers in the press, on social media, or from who knows where. Here's your chance to see how much of what you've heard is true and how much you remember from past issues of Nutrition Action. Which food is most clearly linked to a higher risk of colorectal cancer? A. High-fat dairy. B. Processed meats. C. Sugary drinks. D. Diet drinks. E. Refined grains. The answer? B. Processed meats. Which of these steps is most likely to prevent memory loss? A. Taking antioxidants. B. Taking DHA. C. Taking ginkgo. D. Taking a multivitamin. E. Lowering high blood pressure. E. Lowering high blood pressure. Which is not a sign of a heart attack? A. Shortness of breath. B. Nausea. C. Sudden dizziness. D. Sudden arm weakness. E. Sudden fatigue. It's D. Sudden arm weakness. Which of these is most likely to curb osteoarthritis knee pain? A. Vitamin D. B. 5-Loxin supplements. C. MSM supplements. D. Exercise. E. Arthroscopic surgery. It's D. Exercise. Which of these is not good advice for grilling meat or poultry? A. Marinate before grilling. B. Flip meat only once. C. Avoid needle tenderized meat. D. Trim visible fat before grilling. Or E. Don't char or overcook. It's B. Flip meat only once. Which of these is most clearly linked to a lower risk of liver cancer? A. Coffee. B. Fruits and vegetables. C. Whole grains. D. Nuts. E. Low-fat dairy. It's A. Coffee. Which has not been consistently linked to sugary drinks? A. Weight gain. B. Type 2 diabetes. C. Heart disease. D. Parkinson's disease. E. High uric acid levels. It's D. Parkinson's disease. Which is least likely to cause an outbreak of E. coli? A. Soft cheese. B. Ground beef. C. Raw milk. D. Unpasteurized juice. Or E. Raw sprouts. It's A. Soft cheese. Which of these won't help you avoid endocrine disruptors like BPA? A. Microwave in glass or ceramic containers instead of plastic. B. Wash plastic by hand or on the top shelf of the dishwasher. C. Use plastics with recycling number 7. D. Get rid of scratched plastic containers. Or E. Use fewer canned foods. C. Use plastics with recycling number 7 will not help you. What is least likely to lower your risk of osteoporosis? A. Get enough calcium from food or supplements. Get enough vitamin D. C. Do weight-bearing exercise on most days. D. Limit acidic foods. E. Limit refined grains. It's D. Limit acidic foods. Which of these steps is not likely to lower your risk of breast cancer? A. Lose or don't gain excess weight. B. Exercise daily. C. Drink alcohol only on occasion. D. Eat more vegetables. Or E. Take antioxidant vitamins. That's right, it's E. Take antioxidant vitamins. Which is most likely to prevent a cold? A. Take Airborne. B. Take vitamin C. C. Take zinc lozenges. D. Don't share food. E. Don't rub your eyes. It's actually E. Don't rub your eyes. Extra pounds are linked to a higher risk of all but one of these cancers, which has no link. A. Liver. B. Colorectal. C. Leukemia. D, pancreatic. E, uterine. It's C, leukemia. Which of these is least likely to help prevent urinary leakage? A, lose or don't gain excess weight. B, do Kegel exercises, men too, to strengthen pelvic muscles. C, get 30 to 60 minutes of exercise on most days. D, take azo bladder control supplements. It's D, take azo bladder control supplements. Which of these is most likely to prevent wrinkles? A, adding collagen powder to foods. B, using a moisturizer with your hyaluronic acid. C, moisturizing with vitamin C. D, taking a vitamin A retinol supplement. Or E, using sunscreen year-round. The winner is E, using sunscreen year-round. Which low-calorie sweetener should you avoid? A, acesulfame potassium. B, erythritol. C, maltitol. D, monk fruit extract. Or E, stevia. It's A, you should avoid acesulfame potassium. Which of these fish supplies the fewest omega-3 fats? Is it A, farmed salmon? B, wild salmon. C, rainbow trout. D, catfish. E, albacore tuna. It's D, catfish. And finally, which of these has the kind of fat that's likely to lower your LDL or bad cholesterol? A, croissant. B, yogurt-covered raisins. C, ranch salad dressing. D, buttered popcorn. E, cupcakes. Surprisingly, it is C, ranch salad dressing. That's all the time we have for Nutrition News. Until next time, I'm Jackie Roble for the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This program is readily available as a podcast after the initial broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening, and here's to your health.